Welcome to the Path to Profit podcast with your hosts, Dr. Manette Riordan and Brad Dobson.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Path to Profit podcast. I'm Dr. Manette Riordan, along with my freaking awesome husband, Brad Dobson.
You're freaking awesome today.
You are freaking awesome every day.
We stayed out of the mudslides. We stayed out of the fires.
It's been a little crazy here in Santa Barbara and Ventura counties lately. But welcome to the Path to Profit podcast. If you've never been here before, we are all about helping creative entrepreneurs to build profitable businesses. And looking this month, in fact, I think this is our last podcast of the month where we're talking about all the different aspects of business planning that we use. Yep. And last episode, we focused on promotional calendars. And the natural segue from promotional calendars is...
Wait, did we... What? Was Emily Levy on last episode?
No, she's the next episode.
Oh, okay. I got them confused in my head.
No, so episode 82 will be Emily Levy talking about what to do when you're switching niches.
Okay, so I totally screwed up your drum roll then.
So drum roll, we're talking about?
Editorial calendars.
Editorial calendars, yep. It's not sexy, but it certainly is useful. We're going to make it sexy.
It's the best thing ever.
It is the best thing ever.
Systems like this are the best things
I know.
Ever.
If you've been following us for a while, you know that Brad loves to geek out on systems. I love free, colorful printables. And together we make it all happen in some pretty crazy, fantastic ways.
So,
going to start with a quote?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because I was just about to wax poetic about editorial calendars.
You can wax poetic about editorial calendars in a minute. But first, I love this quote. It's super silly.
Yeah, I had to look for a few because I wasn't sure. If you look for quotes about editorial, it just really doesn't work at all.
But this is all about organization and planning.
That's right. So that's what I looked for. This is from A.A. Milne. Organizing is what you do before you do something so that when you do it, it is not all mixed up. Pretty simple stuff.
It is
kind of reads like a Winnie the Pooh quote.
Yes.
Which is appropriate.
So if you don't know who A.A. Milne is, he is the author of the Winnie the Pooh series and a childhood favorite.
So that's really funny because I always assumed that was a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I always assumed it was a man.
I just have no idea. Mm-hmm. Anyways, on with editorial calendars.
A.A. Milne said is Pooh. A man. Editorial calendars and honey.
That's right.
Buckets of honey. So speaking of buckets of honey, you want to wax poetic about editorial calendars now?
Goof. I guess we're kind of crazy today.
We are crazy. It's been an emotional couple of days.
So this is a key part of your content creation.
It's a key part of our content creation.
Well, and sure. Content creation is a key part of most folks' jobs, I think.
Yeah, can you
online
back up just for a second and talk about, so in our last episode, we talked about promotional calendars where you're looking at that whole year and you're really planning your marketing promotions from the perspective of what you want to create this year. Mm-hmm. And an editorial calendar really shows us how we're going to carry out those promotions. So it's really kind of a deep dive. Like, can you talk a little bit about how you see the distinction between the promotional and the editorial calendar? Because they're two different animals from a planning perspective.
Well, promotion is for promoting content, and promotion is for promoting things you're going to sell.
Yeah.
Editorial is for how you're going to get fresh new content out to people, especially on the internet. The main force behind this comes from the need for digital and internet-based folks to give a lot of their content away through a lot of their best stuff away through content, whether that's through blogging or Pinterest or YouTube or whatever it is, to entice more people into your ecosystem so that you can then sell to them. And so the point is to be organized about your editorial content.
Yep.
And how that gets out there.
from a creative perspective, one of the things that we hear over and over again from our clients when we say you need to be creating more content, you need to be writing more blog posts, more newsletters, more Facebook posts, more social media, wherever it is that you're creating content. And remember, the primary place that you're creating content for is where your ideal clients are hanging out. But I get the sense all the time from people, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to write about. And an editorial calendar solves that issue. So not only does it get you organized, it actually helps with your creative flow. I don't know about you, but I have ideas for content all the time. And I put them in notes or I put them in Google Keep. Brad talked about Google Keep on our blog recently and about how he uses that to capture ideas. And so when I actually sit down to write a blog post, I have a bank of ideas. I already have a list of content that I think would be useful and interesting to our creative community. The editorial calendar takes that even one step further. So when I sit down on Monday to write the blog post that needs to go to our virtual assistant on Tuesday so she can get it posted and promoted on Thursday, I already know what I'm going to write about. And when I'm really organized, I have looked at that editorial calendar ahead of time. And I tend from a creative writing process to sort of think about things in my head for a long time so that when I actually sit down to write them, I just go blah, right? And they come out really fast. People are amazed at how little time I actually spend writing 1,000 words. I wrote 1,000-word blog post this morning in less than an hour because I'd been thinking about it for a lot, not consciously, but subconsciously, it's just ruminating there. So editorial calendars are both creative and super organizational as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess we're kind of rambling a little bit, but we've taken it an extra step this year and taken on something that Pat Flynn mentioned in his Smart Passive Income podcast, which is to work with themes on a monthly basis. And so you may have noticed that December was goal setting month and we had a series of podcasts and blog entries posts related to that. Mm-hmm. And now January is business planning and so on and so forth. By putting those themes together on the calendar ahead of time, we're able to do some of that. Our minds are able to work on those things in the background and know that, for a whole month, we're going to be focused on one topic. It allows us to dig deeper, come up with, rather than just sort of random blog post ideas or random podcast ideas, we're able to actually focus on a set of them. And
we also created core themes to our business, because I think that in the past, we've rambled in our blog, we've rambled in this podcast, and having themes that are specifically related to supporting our community also makes it easier to create content, right? So what Brad is saying, that we went from this big promotional plan to an editorial calendar, and even under the editorial calendar, we continue to create more organization and processes by looking at thematic themes.
Thematic content.
I had a word brain freeze there at thematic content. Because when you have a theme in place, it makes it so much easier to generate your content for podcasts, for blogs, for social media, for your email newsletters, for all the marketing that you're doing. But can you maybe dive a little deeper and share what's actually on our editorial calendar?
Yeah. And so we in fact, use a Google Sheet for this, a spreadsheet.
And there'll be a link to it in the show notes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and we've updated that recently to go with a prettier format, a more effective format.
It's more colorful. I'm happy.
And we use that to communicate between ourselves and our virtual assistant in terms of when a blog post is ready or when a podcast is ready for processing or so on and so forth. The most obvious thing, would, if it's a blog entry or a podcast episode, would be the title.
Mm-hmm. Or at least the subject, if you don't know the title. Oftentimes, we'll put subject matter in and fine-tune the title to include our keywords.
Yeah, and you might have keywords associated with it. So you've pre-planned. You've done some analysis of SEO matters and you know what keywords you want to try and hit. let's say you're doing a Pinterest entry, which we don't do anything in Pinterest, but maybe
except
that's
surf.
Yeah, right. maybe that's key for or maybe let's go with Instagram. Instagram's a better example. Let's say the main part of your editorial is Instagram posts. And so the core item is the photo or a video, but most likely an image. Well, what's the subject matter of the image? Perhaps what colors, what branding is going
to
be
a link to the image or the Dropbox file where the image is stored.
Right. But you might be planning out, say, you know, that on Thursday or the second Thursday of next month is something to do with some core theme in your business. You know what the colors, you don't know what the image is yet, but you know what the colors are, you know what the keywords are you want to match. And so then you can start looking for imagery that or taking imagery or creating it related to that. So similarly for blog posts, except it's more words and less imagery or less image focused than Instagram. What other ones?
So,
YouTube would be another one, but I was
trying to give them a really specific. So for those of you that use Google spreadsheets, it's a great way to do this, but you could also do it in your bullet journal. You could do it in a weekly paper planner. The way that we start the process, you guys know I love paper calendars. We have a big at a glance blank calendar with no dates on it. We start filling everything in manually and then translate it to the Google spreadsheet so that we have some flexibility and we can see everything at a glance. But you need to have the date of publication of the piece of content, where it's going to be published, the title or subject, what images will be used. No matter where it's going, you're going to have images or video. The type of content is email newsletter, Facebook, blog post, the URL. If you have somebody that you're working with, they need to know where to go to find everything. Do you have a Google bucket, right? That you're a Google folder where you're storing everything so everybody has access and can find it. You should be including keywords. Like Brad said, I think it's BuzzSumo is one of our favorites for doing keyword research right now.
That's BuzzSumo.com.
And we can put a link to that in the show notes as well. Also, if you're doing a lot of Instagram post or Twitter post, hashtags are really important. You can list the hashtags, especially if you're delegating the actual implementation of an Instagram or a Twitter post, a Twitter tweet to someone. We don't use Twitter a lot. It's not my personal favorite. We're total Instagram and Facebook junkies. So if you're looking for us online, that's where you can find us. But the hashtags, it's also really important who is the task assigned to. So for example, first a blog post might be assigned to me to write the content. Then it gets assigned to the VA. For a podcast, there's multiple steps. It's me and Brad. Then Manette creates sketch notes for each episode. Brad does editing for the audio to put the intro and the outro on it. And then it all gets bundled together and sent off to our VA for final processing, for the blog post to get created and the promotion to happen. And the editorial calendar is what helps us track all of that. It keeps everybody organized, especially me, because I'm the one who needs it the most. But it's a great, great, effective, and super simple tool. We often think these things are really complicated, but it's actually really simple. So how far in advance should you plan an editorial calendar?
I'm thinking at least a couple months. You know, longer is probably better. You could go with a quarterly approach, but it does need to be a rolling type of thing so that you always have that content out in front of you. You're especially going to plan content around major items, whether it's, you know, if you have a live event or something like that, or if you're an Etsy store and you have to sell on a certain holiday, there's going to be themed content that you could pre-plan. But yeah, I think at least a couple months.
Yeah. You know, our goal is to get 60 days out. A quarter for me personally seems like a long time because things change. And I think I also want to add that even if you plan 60 days in advance, it's not set in stone, right? Things change, things come up, or themes. Yeah. Like sometimes we'll change blog content, one of our clients might ask a question and we're like, oh my gosh, that's a great question. We never thought about that.
Right.
And so we might do a different podcast or blog post in order to address a very specific question. But I would say that 60 days is great. And we love looking at whole quarters. I think the other thing to really look at is how your editorial content is helping you fulfill the goals from your promotional calendar, right? That the content marketing isn't just for creating content's sake, which is a mistake I know that I've made in the past, but it's getting really consistent with your connection between promotions and content.
Yeah, and this is a really key point that you're bringing up. And it, like you said, it's definitely one we've missed before and we're getting a lot better at it. And one of the items that we can add to each editorial calendar entry is a CTA, a call to action. And the point is that your theme, the theme of your content is helping people solve a problem, but it points them to something that you're promoting, right? So in the middle of the blog post, you're gonna have a little box or a pop-up or something that says, hey, you might be interested in this, or you give them a call to action to purchase some of your stuff, or perhaps ascend further up through your funnel. But that's crucial.
Wasn't it Ryan Dice that said you're probably not putting enough calls to action out there? Wasn't there something that you learned?
Yeah,
very specifically
about a lot of things.
calls to action. Digital Marketer is another one of our favorite resources for education about online digital marketing. So, you know, one of the things that we've learned in our journey, so I've been doing this business for 5 years now, is about delegation and about it doesn't have to be all us. And I had a VA who was supporting me. Then I had Brad. And Brad's like, I got to figure this out on my own. And then we got to the point where Brad's like, okay, I can't do all of this. We need support. And so I think the best part about the editorial calendar is how easy it is to communicate with our team, whether that's one people or five people. One people or five people. I am one people. But I would love for you to share a little bit about how useful it is to have an editorial calendar, even if it's just you.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And whether this is just, you know, your sticky notes on your year calendar or your desk calendar, or it's a more of a formal spreadsheet, or even if it's in your Google calendar, it's about being organized. You just have to have that organization, and you need lead time to think about these things. You know, there's geniuses out there who can just snap a photo and have an award-winning Instagram post, but I don't know about you, but that's not me. I need to prepare this stuff and do a good job of creating great content. And I'm going to do that by pre-planning it, by having, you know, headspace ahead of time to get me on track to produce the right thing.
And I think one of the, you know, like I said at the beginning, creatives struggle often with consistency, with unfinished projects, with that, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to write about, I don't know what to share. So if you're wondering if an editorial calendar is useful for you, I think it's even more useful for those of us who are super creative. It'll help you to manage your bright, shiny idea syndrome so that you stay focused on the themes and the content that matters most to your community. It's so easy for us to write about, talk about, blog about, Instagram post about the things that we're passionate and excited about. And if you're building a lifestyle brand, that can be very useful. But if you're actually trying to sell something and make money, then you have to be creating really high quality, valuable educational content that appeals to your ideal clients and solves specific problems for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be as simple as training videos for the new, the new pen system that you've created for Zentangling. Or it could be, you know, much more complex, posts about complex systems or whatever it is, but yeah, definitely.
So we wanted to end by sharing the 7 specific ways we use an editorial calendar. So if you're driving and listening, don't take notes. If you're sitting at home, you might take some notes, or you can check out our, show notes and my sketch notes at pathtoprofitacademy.com/podcasts. With an S.
Hit the podcast button.
Hit the podcast button on the homepage of PathToProfitAcademy.com and you'll find all the show notes and the details of everything that we're sharing today.
Oh, let's try this. Alexa, take notes. Let's see if anybody complains about that.
Alexa, take notes. Will Alexa take notes?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
That would
from
be
our
a good
listeners.
Question. It would really help if we had an Alexa. That we could actually text it.
That's right.
So, what's one reason that we are one of the main things that we get from using an editorial calendar?
Yeah, it's the team communications. We're able to use a shared document that everybody knows about and looks at and gets notifications on, and that's great. You know, no emails, no other messaging involved. It's just a matter of here's where these tasks are and everybody knows it.
Including our communication with each other, right? It minimizes kind of the back and forth and the scattered conversations a lot of time. So the second method or the second reason that we use an editorial calendar, it helps us organize our content and promotions. We said that already, but just to summarize.
Yep.
And how about the third one?
It makes sure that we don't forget about affiliate promotions that are upcoming. You know, in the past, we've signed up for affiliate promotions, and then, you know, at the last minute, we remember, oh, we have to send out an email to our list today. And that's not appropriate, right? This is a way to pre-prepare those things and get them on the schedule.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of our former guests and our good friend, Katrina Sawa, just asked if we'd help promote her book launch in March. So it needs to go in the calendar now. So we don't forget, right? So really planning ahead. Also, if you have colleagues or friends or affiliate partners who say, hey, will you promote X for me? If you have your promotional and your editorial calendars created, you can look at them and go, why, yes, I can. I don't have any other promotions going out that week. Or you can look and say, I'm sorry, I can't promote that. We're already doing a launch of X product, or we're promoting someone else's event. So it allows you to, or how do I say that? It stops you from doing too much, right?
Yeah.
It stops you from doing too much.
I mean, there's
much.
Definitely times on the schedule that there's just promotions that you can't do.
And then it allows us to be really intentional with our content creation, right? And I think that's so important. We've talked a lot about that today, about using themes, or you could even have a theme of the week, a theme of the month, a theme of the day, but that really being intentional about creating content that's of value to your ideal clients.
Oh yeah, critical. Without it, yeah, it's just haphazard. You're not helping anybody.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I guess we're on to number five. It's an easy to view list of upcoming meetings that we can talk about.
Upcoming items that we can talk about during our meetings.
Yeah, upcoming meetings, upcoming items.
Got to put your glasses on.
That's right. I should do that.
I'm trying to make the print really big.
Right. So it's all out there in front of you. There's no questions about it. You're not guessing what it is.
So Brad and I, at least once a week, sit down and look at our upcoming editorial calendars so that we're on the same page about what needs to be created, when it needs to get created. And it's so easy to just be able to log into our Google template, to that Google Sheet, and know exactly what's coming up. And then we also, during those meetings, can look at what's coming and say, is this still valid, or do we need to make a shift or a pivot, or is there something that would be more useful right now? So that intentionality of content creation is really crucial.
Yep.
That's number six.
So I guess it's kind of stale, but integrated editorial and promotional items force more consistency.
It's not stale. It's summarizing.
That's right. So if you're looking at this from the perspective of the person at the other end who's receiving your, for instance, your emails or all of your Facebook posts, you want to have some sort of thematic consistency. Otherwise, it just all looks haphazard once again. So having a schedule ahead of time and integrating editorial and promotional means that you can thematicize it.
We had to come up with some new, it's all about the cadences, right? We got to go back to our conversation around cadences.
Yep.
So the last thing, number seven, is that it completely eliminates overwhelm and allows us to stay ahead of our content creation and avoid last minute, oh my gosh, I have this tomorrow, which I have been famous for doing to Brad,
right.
Sadly.
Right.
So the editorial calendar has been our biggest gift to each other in the way that we plan in our business. It keeps us sane, and you don't get burnout. You don't get frustrated. You don't overwhelm your VA or ask your VA to do something at the 13th hour that's really unreasonable to ask of them. So whether it's just you and your spouse, or you and a team, it makes everything our big theme this year is grace and ease, right? It creates more grace and ease in your business.
Yeah. And you get a chance to get ahead. That's the neat part about content creation, is that you can, for the most part, unless you have some specific live things like Facebook Live, you can do so much of this ahead of time. And once it's done, once you have, you know, maybe 30 days worth of content scheduled with Hootsuite or Meet Edgar or whatever it is that you use, then you're free to do projects that, you know, promotional things and other things that are going to move the needle on your financials. But you can definitely get buried by this if you're just doing everything at the last minute. So
yeah, and I think I would wrap up by saying, you know, the whole theme of this show and the focus of the Path to Profit Academy is getting you on the path to profit, and creating consistent, high quality content is one way to do that. Mm-hmm. And so the more thoughtful and intentional you can be about that, the faster it's going to boost the bottom line and have some of that profit flowing into your business.
Good stuff. Get out there, use an editorial calendar, folks. It helps you.
Yep. And you can totally snag a copy of ours at pathtoprofitacademy.com/podcast. Click on episode 81 and make sure that you download a copy of that, and just feel free to cut and paste and use it for your own.
Good stuff. Love you guys.
All right. We'll see you on the next show with Emily Levy, where we're talking about what do you do if you want to switch your niche?
Ooh. Thanks for listening.